About 2,000 years ago, the story goes, a group of shepherds were watching their sheep on a starlit hillside near Bethlehem. It was a still, uneventful night, and suddenly the darkness was filled with a strange light. This stillness was broken also by angel voices singing, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward all people. So begins Christmas, the most beautiful and one of the most meaningful celebrations of the Christian year. Christmas actually begins with the holy season of Advent, the season of moving toward the birth of our Messiah. Advent means coming, and we celebrate the next few weeks in expectation and preparation for Christ's arrival. Christmas and Advent customs have developed through many centuries and many countries. Old customs and observances are refined, renewed, and replaced, while new ones are sometimes added. Some of the customs have non-Christian origins, but have been converted by redefining their meanings. What they once may have meant is not as significant as what they mean for us today. Through the centuries, Christians have observed a time of waiting and expectation before celebrating Jesus' birth at Christmas. The Advent season is a time for reflection, but the mood is joyful and joy-filled. It proclaims the revelation of God's love as expressed in Christ's birth in a humble stable, His sacrificial death on a cross, and His victorious resurrection. The traditional color of Advent is purple, which signifies royalty, the sacred and spiritual fulfillment. Some traditions use blue, representing anticipation and promise, the promise of a Savior, Jesus, our Messiah. This morning, our sanctuary will begin to wear its Christmas apparel. For the first time, we gather around our Christmon trees and their lights will shine for us. As we make ready for the birth of the child by preparing our sanctuary, we make ready the sanctuary of our hearts, as Christmas will arrive very soon. As we decorate the church, we will not only explain the meaning of the symbols we use, but we will rededicate these symbols and ourselves to the service of God in Christ.
Let's now stand and sing hymn number 244, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Hymn 244, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
A star in the sky. carols in the evening air, a candle in the window, a wreath on the door, mistletoe hung in the doorway, poinsettias in brilliant color, gifts beneath a lighted tree, friends around a holiday table, families reunited in love, church bells ringing. These are images from modern Christmases. But let us listen to the lessons of years and centuries gone by, not just to the impressions of the moment. Images of the present in the biblical story are often discouraging. War, hate, famine, a Caesar on his throne, later Christians being persecuted because of belief in love, come down to earth. Yet now, after centuries of Caesar is gone, some of those early Christians are shining symbols of faith, and Jesus, the truth and the light, reaches out to every nation. Let us, through the great traditions of our faith, join with the shepherds of Bethlehem, the Magi from the East, and all those seekers throughout the ages, to welcome the one who came at Christmas. Let us bring our gifts to him, and may the message of our singing also be glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all people. We acknowledge the prophecies and celebrate the coming of Christ with traditions, with worship, and with reverent waiting. They are symbols of waiting and of preparation. Foremost among the symbols is the Advent wreath, the wreath of coming. The circle of the wreath, like God, has no beginning and no end. It is a circle of evergreens, a circle of meaning, a symbol of that which is eternal as God, as victorious as the coming of Christ, and as everlasting as his promises. The Advent wreath is a symbol of hope, of four Sabbaths of waiting with anticipation, reminding us that something is happening and there is more to come. The lighting of the candles has been a part of religious worship for millennia. The Hebrews burned candles for 8 days as part of their Feast of Lights, or Hanukkah. Light has been used by many religious groups to symbolize truth, since Jesus is called the light of the world and a light for the revelation to the Gentiles. The lighting of the candles has become an important part of our Christian worship. Five candles light our wreath. Three are purple, the color of royalty and of repentant preparation. One is rose-colored and reminds us of the joyfulness of the angel's song. The center candle is pure white and is lit on Christmas Eve, the night of Christ's child's arrival. The Advent season is only complete when all the candles are lit on Christmas Eve. Last Sunday, we lit the first purple candle, the candle of hope. Today, we light the second candle, the candle of peace. We think of hope of peace in a world in need of peace. Christ is coming. Let us prepare for the peace of the world.
Today we light the second candle of Advent, the candle of peace, seeking to brighten the darkened streets of our world, our towns, our hearts, and our minds, reminding us of the everlasting light, who is the Prince of Peace. In Luke 2, 1 through 5, we read of a world where wars and conflicts abounded. The hope for peace was met with the Pax Romana, peace of Rome. The occupation of Palestine by the Romans was a tenuous peace at best, and could often be much worse for those living in the land of Israel. The Jews longed for a peace that seemed elusive. In many ways, our world is not unlike theirs, and we too wonder if there can truly be peace. This is part of our hope that is tempered with fears. In 1865, American preacher Phillips Brooks visited the land of Israel in December. On Christmas Eve, he was in Bethlehem and saw shepherds in the fields, stars in the sky, and the town of Bethlehem, where he worshipped at the Church of the Nativity. 3 years later, in a world of uncertainty, he watched children in the church practice for the Christmas program, and the sights and sounds of that night in Bethlehem came flooding back to him. He went home and wrote a song in which all children, young and old, find hope, O little town of Bethlehem. He spoke of the hopes and fears of all the years that meet in the Christ child, the Prince of Peace, in a world in need of true peace, the promise and paradox of Advent, hopes and fears. May this candle of peace inspire us to bring to God all of our hopes, all of our fears, so that we may find God's peace in Christ for us. May we pray? Dear Lord, today and throughout this season of Advent, may we stand humbly before the manger in Bethlehem, grateful for your light of peace, for your love, and for the hope of experiencing hopeful peace that casts out our fears. We pray this in the name of the promise and paradox of Christmas, Jesus. Amen.
When we say hanging of the greens, you probably think of evergreens. That is the heart of a hanging of the green service. You can see wreaths and garlands of evergreen in our worship room waiting to be put into place. Evergreens are used to decorate at Christmas because they stay lovely and green even in the winter months. While other trees are barren and asleep, the evergreen shows life. Little wonder that Christians took this as a symbol of the unending life which is ours when we receive the Christ as Savior and Lord. With our evergreens, we are reminded of the ever-coming Christ, God's gift to us of renewal and transformation. Under Christian thought and sentiment, holly became widely used in church celebrations. According to some legends, holly was used as the crown of thorns and that the berries were yellow until Christ's blood stained them forever red. Mistletoe became known as a symbol of love, the symbol of God's everlasting love for his children. In Isaiah 60:13, we read, "The glory of Lebanon shall come unto you, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beautify the place of your sanctuary." In ancient times, the cedar tree was revered as the tree of excellence and endurance, was used for rites of purification, and came to represent Christ's power to transform us. At this time, we will experience the joy of hanging the greens for Christmas. As they are hung, let us remember the forever life which is ours in Christ Jesus, life that guides us even through all of our winter days.
Thank you.
Today, the Christmas tree is the center of many festivities. Glittering with lights and ornaments, it is a part of the beauty and meaning of Christmas. There are several legends about the Christmas tree. The first Christmas tree was in medieval German Paradise plays, which portrayed the creation of humanity. The tree of life was a fir tree decorated with apples. Later on, ornaments were hung on them, such as papers, flowers, and nuts. In England, branches or whole trees were forced into bloom for Christmas. The Protestant reformer Martin Luther wandered outdoors and became enthralled with the beauty of the starry skies over the trees. He began to reflect upon the first Christmas Eve in Bethlehem under the stars. Wishing to share that with his wife and children, he cut an evergreen tree, glistening with snow, and took it home. He placed the lighted candles on it to recapture the glistening of the tree under the stars in the forest. He also topped the tree with a star to commemorate the star which was in Bethlehem's sky and which the Magi followed. He said that the tree, with its top pointing toward heaven, was like hands folded in prayer and pointed to the throne of grace from which Jesus came. While most trees are decorated with various types of lights and brightly colored ornaments, our trees are decorated with chrismons. The word chrismon is a contraction of two words, Christian and monogram. Chrismons are symbols of God or for important truths of the Christian faith. Many chrismons have been used by the church for two millennia since the time of Christ. You're probably familiar with the fish by which early Christians identified themselves to each other. Other Christ monograms might be the star, the hand of God, the anchor, the cross, and the Greek letters Alpha and Omega. As instrumental music plays, the children are going to come down and finish decorating the trees for us. When the chrismons are all placed on the trees, Autumn Miller and Olivia Mathis and Rebecca Payne and Aaron O'Brien will light the trees. As these lights shine brightly and illuminate the chrismon trees, let us remember how God brings light to our darkness, healing to our brokenness, and peace to all who will receive and follow Him.
Loves the brilliant red poinsettias we enjoy at Christmas. Like the evergreens, they have been adopted as Christmas decorations because they bloom well in winter when our garden flowers are dormant. Of course, we have to grow them in greenhouses in most of North America, but they grow wild in Mexico and other countries of the Southern Hemisphere. That reminds us that people of every land celebrate Christmas. For some, it is just a time of family celebration and giving gifts, but those who know Jesus join together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. At Christmas, we realize that we are part of a much larger family of faith, the family of God, the Church Universal. One legend of the poinsettia comes from Mexico. It tells of a girl named Maria and her little brother Pablo, who were very poor but always looked forward to the Christmas festival. Each year, a large manger scene was set up in the village church. The two children were saddened each year, though, because they could not buy presents or give anything to the church for baby Jesus. One Christmas Eve, as they set out to go to church for the service, Maria and Pablo picked some weeds growing alongside the road as a gift for baby Jesus. Other children teased them because of their gift, but Maria said nothing because she knew that they had given what they could. When Maria and Pablo placed the green weedy plants around the manger in the church, suddenly the top leaves turned into bright red petals, and soon the manger was surrounded by beautiful star-like flowers, the flowers of Christmas. Enjoy the lovely poinsettias now as they are brought and placed in the front of our sanctuary.
Thank you.
captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Now here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am, here I am. Oh Lord, you are my God. You're lovely, you are worthy, you're wonderful to me. Here I am to worship you. Here I am.
Long before the celebration of Christmas, candles were used to signify Christ as the light of the world. In medieval times, there was a legend that on Christmas Eve, the Christ child wandered throughout the world, looking for a place where he would be welcomed. Those who loved him, hoping that they might find that he might find their homes, placed lighted candles in the window to invite him inside. No one knew for sure how he might appear, perhaps in ragged clothes as a beggar or as a poor and lonely child. He might come in the form of a crippled person roaming the streets or the lonely countryside. It became customary for devout Christians to welcome into their homes anyone who knocked at their doors on Christmas Eve. If you did not, you might turn away the Christ child in unfamiliar form, just like the innkeeper on the first Christmas night. During the Advent season, we remember that Christ is wandering along our streets, looking for homes where he will find warmth and shelter. The candles in the windows of our church and our homes symbolize that Christ is a welcome guest. Here is a place where there is room in our hearts for him. As the candles are lit in our windows, we can recommit ourselves to sharing the true light with those around us during this Christmas season.
wonder as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die for poor ornery people like you and like I. I wonder as I wander out under the sky. When Mary birthed Jesus, 'twas in a cow stall, with wise men and farmers and shepherds and all. But high from God's heaven a star's light did fall, and the promise of ages it then did recall. If Jesus had wanted for any wee thing, a star in the sky or a bird on the wing, or all of God's angels in heaven for to sing, he surely could have it, 'cause he was the King. I wonder as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die for poor ornery people like you and like I. I wonder as I
origin of singing Christmas carols is unknown, with different countries claiming to be the first it started. From the first, music of some type was a part of the church festivals in honor of the birth of Jesus. We do know that caroling existed in Germany in the 15th century because Martin Luther wrote that when Christmas was celebrated, he and others left the church and went from house to house in the village singing popular Christmas carols. Of course, we could safely say that Christmas caroling was first done by the angelic choir that first Christmas when they sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill to all people." We share that great joy with music that proclaims the message of the birth that changed the world for all time.
Now let's stand and sing hymn number 277, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." That's 277, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing."
Sinners reconciled, joyful all.
Christmas joy overflows in music. About the 4th century A.D., bells pealed forth in glad song at Christmas. Of all Christmas symbols, bells have changed the least. Church bells are said to have been originated by a bishop in Campania, Italy. Medieval people had a tender feeling about their bells. Historically, many famous bells have rung out the glad news at Christmas, such as the Emperor Bell in Moscow, Big Ben in London, and the Liberty Bell of Philadelphia. It is the church bells in communities around the world that have had the greatest impact in the hearts of Christians everywhere. Bells always carry a special message. They signal the gathering of people for worship. They herald events of worldwide importance. They announce weddings. And most appropriately, they proclaim the birth of royalty, the birth of our King, Jesus the Christ.
Would the children please come and join me at the front? If you would come and sit on this pew right here. Have some more coming down from up in the balcony. They're guys and one young lady. Another young lady and another young lady. Okay, you're fine. What a good looking group. Joy, and some of what Christmas means to us being to do, to read the Christmas story and marvel again at how God worked out our salvation through a tiny baby. Chris is going to come and read for us from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. The Christmas story. Luke
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was a governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to a firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it has been told to them.
Thank you, Chris. You know, the truth is that there never was a Christmas before Jesus was born. Evergreen trees grew in forests, but no one came to get them for decorating their homes. No one thought of loading them down with ornaments, candy canes, lights, or garland. No one thought of singing Christmas carols or of bringing Christmas gifts. God looked down from heaven and saw the sin and sadness on the earth. And God decided to come to earth as a humble baby born in a stable and placed in a manger. God reached out to all people, poor and wealthy, simple and wise, powerless and powerful, and showed us His greatest expression of love by coming for us. For most people, the best known Christmas decoration in the world has been the nativity scene of that night in Bethlehem. There was a stable filled with animals, shepherds, angels, and Mary and Joseph as they watched over the baby Jesus in wonder as all of the visitors came searching for the King. The first known use of a manger scene goes back to St. Francis of Assisi in 1223, as he used a life-size nativity to explain the birth of Jesus, because many people could not read. So they could not read the Christmas story from the Bible. You may notice that we have an empty manger here, behind me on the stage. Do you know why? Because we are waiting for Christmas Day when we celebrate the birth of the baby Jesus. And in our nativity scene up behind the choir, the baby Jesus is not there either. Because we're waiting for that time of celebration. Now there are a lot of things we will do between now and Christmas Day. Many people will have parties. Most will try to shop for the perfect gift to give to someone special. Some will be sad because they do not have jobs this year, or money to buy what they want to buy, or because someone special to them has gone on to be with God. We will have a lot of services and special gatherings here at church, too. But we all need to remember to take time for quiet thinking and reflection, even in the busyness of our season. For the light of God's love can be found all around us. We need to let ourselves be surprised by wonder and make time to give God thanks for the best gift ever, Jesus. Because, you see, the good news of our Advent season is this. Christ is coming. Christ is always coming. Let us welcome Jesus into our hearts, our homes, and our church, just as the shepherds, and later on the wise men did. And may we be as happy as Mary and Joseph when they looked in the manger after Jesus was born, and when they knew great love. Would you all come and sing for us about that night? Yes? No? Maybe? Would you please come and sing for us? Right here. So very much. You can go back and sit down. Okay, you don't have to sit down here with me if you don't want to. That's okay. Hey, Addison. She can stay there. And Jesus came and continues to come, inviting us to share in God's forever love, in God's forever time, in God's grace. He issues that invitation each and every day of our lives, and He continues to issue it to help us to be as we should. At this time, I would like just to take a moment and give anyone who would like an opportunity to make a decision for Christ, a decision to join this fellowship. And as Addison helps me here, we'll pause just a brief moment of prayer and decision. Dear God, as You invite us into Your heart, may we invite You into our hearts and our homes as we gather together and as we commit ourselves to You. Amen. Now, our worship room is ready for all of our services. All of our services of worship throughout the holidays. We thank everyone who has made this room lovely with the decorations. And we thank you for making it lovely with your presence. We have spoken about the true meaning of the season, especially for those of us who love the Lord and seek Him in special ways at this time of the year. And if you are here at our Christmas Eve communion service, I am certain that you will find the baby Jesus in the manger. But more importantly, I pray that you will find Him within your heart, and you will find yourself within the heart of God. Let us enjoy our worship room together as the choir sings a blessing for us, after which we will all stand and read our benediction together. you stand and join me in our benediction as we read together the benediction found in your bulletin. O God, you have caused this world to shine with the illumination of the true light. You have given us your only begotten Son to take our nature upon him and to show us your glory and grace. As you have given this gift in love, may we receive it with joy, and may we reflect your light to a darkened world. As we have decorated this place of worship, may we also live lives of worship, decorated with God's forever things, forever love, forever life, forever living, forever growing, forever green. In the name of God's love and light, Jesus. Amen.